Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We have a really fun show lined up. Unfortunately, we're starting things off with Jacob and Aki. How are you two doing?
Pretty good.
On time.
And you?
Yeah, you are on time, Jacob. That's surprising.
Yay.
Yay. I'm doing good, Aki. How are you?
Other than being sick, I'm great.
Cool.
Sick list.
No idea. I just got really sick a couple days ago. And
you got mono for making out with people, didn't you?
God, if only.
I knew it.
No,
for our annual SML podcast kissing booth. Aki's out now. Great.
Ain't no one wanted to kiss me anyways.
True. Someone that everybody wants to kiss. Stemage is here. Grant, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm no longer sick. I've finished my little my little COVID adventure with you, Joe, after post-mag.
We were COVID buddies.
But I'm great now. Now I have a case of the Metroid Primes. What I got? I've got the fever, and the only solution is Morph Balls, baby. So that's how I'm doing.
Nice.
I'm happy, and we get to talk about pinball.
We do. You jump to it, but when you're around, pinball follows. And we've got Adam Ferrando joining us to chat some pinball. Adam, first off, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. When was I last on? Either 2018, 2019?
Yeah, 2018, I think it was, for Demon Still. And now you've got something new on the way. Do you want to tell us what's going on? Why are you on the show?
So we released Demon's Tilt in 2019-ish. And I worked on the sequel since then called Xeno Tilt, which was just announced, hostile pinball action. And the trailer and Steam page is up now, so you guys can check it out and give it a wish list.
It is already on my wish list. For the people who don't know what Xeno Tilt is or what Demon's Tilt was, give us all the info. What is this game?
So it's a video pinball game inspired by in the vein of the TurboGrafx Crush pinball style of games. So
yeah,
it's got enemies roaming around. It has a tall three-tier play field. But our games crank it up with bullet hell mechanics, the graphics, the music, everything is turned up, and it's got contemporary sensibilities and real pinball sensibilities as far as the rules go.
Now, when it comes to pinball, our main guy to pull on is Grant, because he is the pinball wizard. He is the SML leader of Ball Squad. Grant, I know you've been dying to chat about this game for a while. What kind of questions do you have?
Yeah, I'm excited. Adam, I love Demon's Crush. Demon's Crush. Demon's Tilt. Wow, that's amazing, because that's Freudian or something. I'm a huge Alien Crush, Devil's Crush fan, so I assume you are as well, because it all kind of... I mean, you mentioned...
Of course.
Yeah, TurboGrafx, it plays right into that. But yeah, I mean, there aren't a lot of people exploring the fantasy pinball thing. I think, you know, every game that comes across that... Joe is able to get a hold of, he'll sort of, you know, pass it my way to try, because I'm just sort of the pinball head. And there's just not a lot. There's the occasional adventure game. There's sort of, made for mobile, light fantasy stuff. But I don't know of anyone else that's really going for the hardcore, intense screen shaky gameplay of Demon's Tilt. So it's great to see that I guess Demon's Tilt was successful enough that you're getting to make something else very similar.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it managed to somehow pull it together over the course of a year. I think we did an early access and kind of stayed a year in early access. And, you know, initially trying to get the word out about this game early on was pretty hard. I mean, actually, this podcast is one of the few shows that or outlets that were proactively seeing it and had their ear to the ground. I think it was Purnell checked it out. And then it kind of picked up steam and had really good word of mouth. And yeah, people still talk about it today, and people are excited about the second game.
Yeah, you just had a, I think you just had your limited run.
Yeah.
Release, right? Yeah, like back in, I didn't know about it till it's long gone, as are most limited run things. But yeah
it sold out, and then on Amazon you can Demon's Tilt. There's still a version on Amazon.
Oh, really?
Through LR, but there was a limited slipcase where we had someone basically, you know, we didn't have marketing art for the game. It cost money, and so retroactively we commissioned marketing art for the game, and he also did the cover for Xenotilt, the key art for Xenotilt, Dan Desault.
But very cool. Did he do a lot of work on the game as well, or is it like, I don't know how big is it you?
It's me and Ralph. Yeah, it's two people on it, pretty much full time, and then we have contractors for music, sound guy, and the voice actress. But it's pretty small.
Gotcha. I really enjoy the music for the first one. It's the EC 2151. Yeah. Did that soundtrack come out anywhere other than just on Steam?
LR did a CD. There hasn't been a vinyl, if someone's listening and wants to do a vinyl. There hasn't been one of those, and there hasn't been a cassette. Would be sweet. We get a cassette code.
Cassette would be sweet.
Yeah, but that soundtrack was really well received, and
it's so good. It's like angry FM. It's like the era you would expect to maybe hear when you see these visuals, but it's like it's amped up and awesome. So I assume he's doing it again for this.
Yeah, he's almost done with the soundtrack. It was a long process. I mean, I could start to talk about the development of the game, but I started on XT, started on Xenotilt right as Demon's Tilt left early access. So as soon as I finished the bonus content, I was pretty excited to just start planning. And going into 2020, I was like, well, I just released this game, I should probably take off. But you know, this COVID thing happens and derails my plans for travel and everything. So I just decided to double down on moving forward with the next game rather than, you know, 6 months or a year gap. But when that process started, you know, Charlie, EC, I commissioned him to do some of the music, like when Demon's Tilt was looked like nothing. I mean, I'm surprised he even agreed to do anything, because it looked like nothing. And so that music had kind of come up with that development. And for this one, he started composing the music along with me developing ideas for it. And I would say that, you know, when I started, I was willing, open to experimenting and trying things, even with the music. But then we kind of both fell back into just, you know, what worked, and we don't have to be different for different sake. So, you know, we meandered around just to come back to the same, you know, a similar place, a comfortable place, but I'm happy with the way it sounds.
Hey, if it ain't broke, why fix it, right?
Yeah, I sure. I mean, I wanted to try and experiment. I think it's fun and exciting to discover new things, but you know, I keep trying to do like pre-rendered graphics. It never works. And I just go back to my sprite style, which is very comfortable for me. And so, you know, comfortable seems pretty good, I guess.
Well, it feels kind of like it's a similar, it feels like your style, but of a different genre of pinball. I don't know if that makes sense. It seems to lean more in the sci-fi direction than kind of the dark fantasy direction. And you could do a lighter table with this style as well. I mean, which would look really, really good, you know, in the way you do things. But I mean, yeah, if you lean into it, you know, although a pre-rendered background game made by you guys would probably be amazing.
It's just it's like a one-way street. That's the only thing. And I like to do things like iterative and go back on stuff. So any kind of one-way workflow, like even like 3D and 3D meshes and texturing and stuff, I'm just so bad at it. Just
Well, what did you pick up from the other? What did you learn from the first game that you're incorporating into this game? And are there inspirations from other digital pinball games or real pinball games that you kind of pulled into this? Like, where did the new ideas come from?
So a lot of the new ideas were like they were ideas that I had tried on the first one. Demon Slayer was my first game, so I definitely learned a lot as I went. And so the second time around, you know, I was able to just go right into it and start playing again with all of the framework, you know, basically built already and kind of tools and stuff and some kind of a process. Like mechanics wise, so in this game, if you watch the trailer, there's a turret system, so you can actually shoot now. And the way it works is when you cradle the ball, you can fire, it'll auto fire on enemies and tear them apart and clear a path for you. And
wow,
it's pretty good. But I had tried to do something like that in Demon's Souls. I tried to do magic missiles. I had magic missiles that came out of a ball. Like the ball could shoot magic, and it was just like, you know, I had like an action button, and I was like, this isn't working. Like, I mean, all of these, like, it was too much. But then when I came up with the turret metaphor, you know, from the sci-fi setting, you know, the turrets are detached from the ball, and people have expectations for how turrets work, and I figured out a place for them. And what you do is you when you cradle a ball, you can nudge down, and that'll activate the turrets. That cradling, you know, is a mechanic that leads to good pinball play anyway. I want to promote it. And so I just piggybacked onto cradling this shooting mechanic. So it's a little bit of stop and go, but it's designed to kind of keep things flowing.
I have never in my life been good at nudging with pinball. Like, I've tried so much real games, digital games. I always hit the wrong way.
Well, in this one, right is right. The ball is the character, where in usually like these pin sims, they'll flop it like you're moving the machine. So, you know, you can flop it in the options, but I like that kind of one-to-one.
Yeah, same. And honestly, like the way that, I mean, cradling as a technique in a game is actually a really good idea, because that's how, I mean, you play a lot of pinball, you do that a lot. You stop flipping, you stop shooting on the fly, as they call it, and just start, you know, aiming. That's how you aim. It's how you like ready up. So yeah, put some guns with it. Sure, let's do it. I'm ready.
We can do it. Video technology, with video game technology.
Yes, absolutely. I know that whenever I actually was one of the ones that got to test the I guess it was a beta or something, or I think it was pre-early access, I can't remember, but I remember putting I had one of my monitors vertical. Yeah. Anyway, for programming, and I had like, I was running, you know, pinball effects tables vertical, and I just threw it on my monitor just to see, like, just to try it. It's a vertical game, just like most pinball games. So yeah. I did it, and it worked. I remember, I still have the email somewhere. You said something like, wow, we had not even planned for Tate mode yet, but I guess it works, which is right. Awesome. Yeah. I never followed up. I played it on Switch, and I've played it some on PC, but I've since built a virtual pin maybe a year and a half ago or so. And I never went back and actually threw this on there. I just went and searching YouTube, and some people have done that. Several people have Demon's Tilt on their virtual pin with putting the art on the back glass and stuff. So I just want you to know, this is a priority. I plan on giving this a shot. Is this something that you kind of went and made work, or did you have to do a lot of work to make a vertical orientation happen? So did you get lucky there?
No, we did go out of our way to get a kind of Tate support. So that's what makes it possible in the cabinets. And we have multiple ways to do it, because before it was just one way where, now my memory is getting a little strange. I forget if the game rotated or not. I mean, there was just a specific way that it worked. And then we added other ways that Tate mode worked, and it happened to mesh with cabinets. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense. It's one of those things where, I mean, it's like playing Ikaruga on a television. You know, the game was not originally made for that.
Yeah. Well, that's where, I mean, a lot of the things we do is just from admiring something we've seen before. Like, most of our conversations start with, this is funny.
Fucking yeah!
And then we follow through. So like, you know, Ikaruga being the first place that I saw, you know, rotate your parents' TV.
Yes. Been there. Don't drop it. Be careful. Yes.
Well, it also messes with the geometry when, you know, when you put this thing on its side, it's like, you know, it's crumbling under its own weight. Something.
Yeah.
Like.
Totally.
Yep. You know, like the thing, like in this game, there's basically a Raiden beam, you know, a toothpaste laser, and that started from we just love that piece of technical art. And I had just watched like Ghostbusters Afterlife the night before, and I'm like, okay, let's go back to this and figure this out. So, you know, our game has huge lasers in it also, which piggyback off the turrets.
That's so awesome. Lasers and turrets. This sounds exactly like a pinball game.
It looks amazing. I've gone back and kind of watched the segments. It's just a gameplay montage, but there's a whole lot going on in each part of the trailer. And I'm trying to I'm trying to figure out how you might have gotten to these points, right? I know you described it in your description. You wrote cavernously deep mechanics, and I'm like, well. That's cool. You're getting your money's worth, but I assume things. I don't know. That's it's nice to know that there are enough rules to kind of keep you busy, but it actually is
cavernous. I can bore you to death with, I will talk about that. There's a perk system. Well, you talked about, what was it like real life inspirations, but you know, Johnny Mnemonic has that kind of nine ball, has a nine ball multi-ball or something. And,
yeah.
And so that this game has a nine ball matrix, but what's different is every lock, and you can select the lock that you drop the ball into, has a different perk. So you can build up these perks per game. And as you're building up perks, also the kind of spawn rates change and the difficulty changes and the bosses start doing new attacks. So as you're getting more tools to deal with chaos, the chaos is ramping up and it's this kind of push and pull. And it culminates in when the lock is at three, you know, at three balls, you can run multi-ball and your perks will stay lit for that as long as your ball's going, your perks will stay lit. And it's got like a kind of a risk reward thing. And I think I'm pretty excited for people to figure that out because it supports like a defensive play style, you know. It supports more aggressive play styles also, depending on which ones you pick.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah, Mnemonic did have the exact same matrix, didn't it? I forgot. The hand grabs the ball and drops it in or something, maybe?
Yeah, and I heard it's notoriously broken, which checks out with the development of this, which was a lot of corner cases and weird stuff that needed to be ironed out. But it works.
Sweet. Good. So any other... go ahead, Joe.
I'm looking at chat here, and first off, I want to give a quick shout out to Lloyd Berry for dropping a sub for his 14th month. Thank you so much, Lloyd. Always love having you here. And then Carnage has a question. He wants to know if there's any Xbox plans for the game, because he's asking for Xbox achievements already.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so regarding achievements, well, you can expect the game to come out to the places you'd expect it to come out to. We don't have any, we don't have an order for that the ports are going to happen yet. And the main game has to get finished first on PC.
Yeah.
Before the ports can start. And again, we don't have dates yet for any of it. But you know, expect it, you know, where you'd expect video games.
Carnage is just impatient and wants Xbox achievements yesterday.
But regarding achievements, what we did was, you know, platforms, to get platform parity, like some platforms don't have achievements. And so now we have a challenge codex, which has our stuff locally, and you can unlock like little like filters and an extra bonus music track. So when you fill out this matrix of challenges, and then you'll, you know, it's like bingo kind of, and you can get some prizes out of it. So all those achievements will now be, you know, tracked locally for the platforms that don't have it.
Nice.
Very cool.
I love when games tie rewards to achievements.
Yeah, Vampire Survivors did, I believe.
Yeah, like every new unlock that you get in the game is tied to an achievement. So it rewards you and it keeps you coming back. And
it has hundreds. It's got like,
oh, yes, hundreds. It's insane.
There's so much to do in that
game. They're maniacs, yeah.
I'm sure they would probably... They'd reward you with 1G if they could. Something tells me 5 is the lowest they go, right? But they'd be like, you know.
No, anyway. They do have ones. They do.
Do they have
1-pointers out there.
Wow.
I actually love when people do like 1-pointers and 3-pointers and stuff like that, but so many people get offended by the fact that there's achievements that don't end in a 0 or a 5. So okay. That's why you don't see them as much.
I heard about this, and they chase like odd numbers, and
I love odd numbered achievements. Though, like if a game comes out with an achievement
value,
like,
that's
fractional.
Because you're a monster.
A fraction.
7.5.
17.34. Yes, that's what I want. Yes, I'm a sadist. I love having weird achievement values in games. I think I like it because it pisses so many people off.
Yeah, you're a monster. Yeah. As I said.
Yeah. Aki, do you have any questions about this? I kind of worry that a game like this might be too much for you. Due to your epilepsy seizure issues. Is this something you can handle even?
I doubt it. Because I obviously haven't played this, but no, I doubt it. I have trouble with games like this just in general, even without that, because things move too quick for me to keep up with. It's kind of embarrassing.
Adam, do you have any plans for the game in dealing with like the flashing and the brightness to help people who have seizure issues?
Well, we have a lot of, we just call them comfort options. So we have as many options as possible for things that I think would maybe like do like motion sickness or like screen shake you can turn off. You can put the lights to 0. There's sprite flashing and you can soften it so it's not pure white. I'm trying to think what else there is. And there's a way to dim. You can dim the background so the foreground pops out. And I guess then someone could take their monitor settings and make it less contrasty. But we've put a lot of comfort options into this game. Yeah.
So we're going to have to throw a copy at Aki when the game is ready to go and see if she can handle it and see how it works with her. You down for that, Aki?
I'm willing to try anything. You know me.
I'm waiting for Jacob to chime in with something there.
Yeah, I'm surprised he missed that. That was prime opportunity.
That was like a softball thrown in his direction, and he's just sleeping on the job.
I am not sleeping on the job. I'm right here. I'm letting you Nimnodes talk, except our guest, who is doing wonderfully.
Nimnodes.
I like that. That's I don't know where word. That came from, but I love it.
Nimnodes. I don't either, yeah. Are there Nimnodes in this game?
Maybe.
Nimnode multi-ball? Anyway, no?
Nimnode multi-ball. Oh man. So yeah, you were talking about the 9-ball multi. Like how do you manage 9 balls at one time?
So it will it runs 3 at a time, so it's the player's choice. You know, if they accidentally hit the multi-ball shot, it's going to start it. But it's the player's choice to run what they want, and then if you triggered wizard mode, it's just going to dump the lockout and you'll get 9 balls. So
oh, interesting.
It's pretty reserved to have all of them going at a time. Mostly players will probably chain stuff together. Like, you know, they'll lose one and then they might want to chain it to keep it going. There is one perk called Airlock, which the way it works is when you enter it, it sucks all the balls in during multi-ball and throws them up to a higher tier. So it's kind of like a multi-ball extender, and it's pretty overpowered right now. So, but we'll see.
Dig it. Joe, did you know there is a pinball machine with 13 balls?
Is there?
Oh.
Yeah, Apollo 13.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You should look up some footage of that. It just sort of dumps them all onto the playfield at once, which is just like, it's kind of funny. Yeah. And amazing, but you can't really do anything about that. You know, like there's just no way that you can handle 13 angry ball bearings flying around a playfield at one time, you know? And so they, most of them go away, but that's a pretty good, someone Joe, was lobbying for that, you know?
Joe would definitely not be able to handle 13 balls all at once.
No, well, you could.
I, Only because I have many years of mastering balls would I be able to handle all 13 at once.
I love that Jacob probably thought about that joke for a solid 5 minutes after.
I've been waiting. I've been waiting.
Yeah, balls.
And Aki immediately just fires it right back at him.
There you go, softball.
No hesitation. Aki just immediately shoots it right back. I love it. That's why I love my crew.
See, my thing that I kind of wonder, like that I'm wondering about, is why it's 13. I mean, or 9.
Because Apollo 13.
No shit, Sherlock. I mean, like, no, like, because I'm talking about testicles over here instead of actual balls, which means somebody's missing a testicle or has Chris an extra Huber. One.
Who knows? Chris Huber only had one.
So you're suggesting I'm helping out Chris Huber right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's involved in the show. I guess. That's how he stays involved. He donates his... Anyway. Pinball, let's talk about... Are there any new tables that have your interest, Adam? Like any... I don't know if there's any new digital pinball games that have your interest or any new real tables that have come out recently that have your interest. Anything... That you want to talk about?
Yeah, when COVID came along, I didn't get out much. And then we had a kid, and I didn't get out much. And so the last time I played, there was a gap in playing pinball. And I was just recently playing on Monday. So this was like, yeah, really, like my reintroduction back into the world almost. And I played Total Nuclear Annihilation and had never played that before. And I really... liked a lot about it. I had been looking at footage on it, but that's great. I'm gonna go dump some money into that.
That's a great game.
Yeah, but other than that, what did I play? You know, I put a game up on Stranger Things, TMNT, the new Black Knight, but the TNA made the impression. Yeah, it's really pretty.
It's gorgeous. It's actually got a similar color scheme to even Xenotilt. It's got this kind of, it's the blue, purple, black, bright kind of thing.
I was looking at the small upper play field, had like good ideas, and I was like, oh, this is really cool, but I hadn't played it, but playing it was awesome.
Yeah, I really like the solid state 80s games a lot, that kind of era that had the old chips, music chips in it, but the you just don't see them as often because they're harder to keep up. All the new machines are built like tanks. And so, people will put them in a fun center and the kids will just beat on them, dump their Pepsi on them, and they'll still survive. I think people are scared to put the old classics out on location, which I understand.
Yeah, I think they did one. It was like they did a Pabst Blue Ribbon one I played, but Total Knowledge, it was not a sleepy game. It just...
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, very great. Cool. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to... Oh,
go ahead, Jacob. What do you want to say?
I'm looking forward to the James Bond table that I think it's Stern is showing off, because this year is the 50th anniversary of James Bond. And it looks pretty sexy.
Yeah, they have that at a local barcade. They got it about 2 weeks ago, and it's a lot of fun. It's
super nice. Cool.
It's got a lot of zazz. Like it's just the music and the art, it feels like Bond. So if you're looking for that, I think you'll be happy. And it's got gigantic music rocket on it that looks like a phallus that you can bang around with your balls. So
hell yeah.
All 13 of them.
Yep.
Nice.
Bring extras and throw them in there and go to town.
I'm bringing at least two.
Yeah, there you go.
At least. Grant, did you play any awesome pinball stuff at Magfest when you were there?
I didn't set foot in the arcade.
No.
Believe it or not. I was going to leave. My plan was originally, normally it's on Saturday night. Everything's kind of, shoring up. And then I go and I get some game time in. But we, because of the way it worked with our travel, we left the hotel. I think
We
left the hotel like 3 a.m.
in the morning. Yeah.
So on crazy Saturday like night. So I missed my arcade time. I did that one other year. It just sucks. But then they had some good-looking pins. Apparently, if someone came up all upset, they're like, they got way too many pinball machines and not enough arcade games. And I'm like, oh, really? Well. But I didn't make it down there, unfortunately. But
I'm the same way. Like, by the time I was ready to go gaming and stuff like that, I was half sick and I just didn't want to do anything.
Yeah, so. it hit you earlier in the weekend, so makes sense.
Yeah, fun times. Good shit.
Well, what's the story with early access for this? Is Xenotilt going to go, like, you've got your engine built, you know, like things of your foundations there. So do you think you'll do early access again, or do you know yet?
It definitely won't be a year of early access. I mean, I hope not.
Oh, sure.
But yeah. we will probably do an early access period because we get the most playtesting, and it could be a time to just do kind of revisions aside from the bug stuff. But this game is the state it's in right now is miles ahead of what the first one was in early access. Very playable. And I mean, the other one was playable, but this one is just much more solid. So I'm looking for playtesting feedback. So soon we'll announce location dates where people can play. We can't say them yet, but we'll have them on Twitter. And it looks like that On Location will be the first place that people can play. And then our early access period, will probably be as brief as we can make it. I don't know how short we can make it, but we're shooting for not months.
Great. What about, you say On Location, you mean taking it somewhere to play?
Like what conventions.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
I'll have Ralph say the convention. He's doing a Vegas one soon.
Ooh.
And he can put the dates in the chat and you can read them if he's listening. I'll ping him too.
I'm going to Vegas next weekend. Is it next weekend?
Is it Level Up Fest? What?
Level Up Expo.
Let me see the dates here. February 17th and 19th. 17th to 19th.
Are you for real? I'm going to be in Vegas from February 17th to 19th.
Okay, well, I think you'll get
to. I don't know if I can go to this. Maybe I could just like slip out and go to this for a second. I don't even know.
They might have it on a laptop. You could come out and see.
3-day event for competitors, collectors, and fans to gather at the Las Vegas Convention Center.
Apparently, it's a big show, this one.
It's their 10-year anniversary. Oh, shit. You know what else just hit 10 years? The SML podcast, which is
that's true.
Our 10th anniversary contest. If you haven't checked it out on our Twitter yet, you should go do that because there's a lot of games you could win.
So anyone that happens to be there, it'll be at the Voodoo Ranger, the brewery booth is hosting us, rather.
That is rad.
This thing looks awesome. I wish I lived near Vegas. Special guests. What kind of special guests do they have? I don't know.
Well, Adam will be there.
Roger Craig Smith.
Oh, that's right. He will be there.
Ralph will be there. Yeah.
Flarb will be there.
Yep.
Flarbing with the beer people.
Yeah, a lot of voice actors and singers, and it looks pretty cool.
Any Power Rangers? You got to have at least one Power Ranger.
Power Ranger. Well, if you need anyone to test the test your Tate mode, if you want some footage of it running on a VPN,
we'll be in touch.
You know where to find me. Get some footage of that happening. Get people to build their cabinets. I've owned a few machines and then sold my last one and gave up and decided to just build a virtual one because the pinflation is real. And
you don't have any more real pins?
No more real pins. I got a 3/4 size virtual pin I made and I can play all the. It's not the same. I will be the first to admit that it's not the same, but it's getting very close. Some of the physics stuff they're doing now is just incredible and lighting and everything. So I'm getting to play games I'll never see in person. So
If I started buying pins, there would be no game. I would just
have
satisfied my need and all my creative powers would be obliterated. So,
and your budget, you wouldn't have anyone for your art or your sound. It's just,
The price, the prices of retail, cause I remember retail games were pretty decent prices and now,
And what got popular somehow? Did we do it, Joe?
Obviously, we did it. Yeah, Ball Squad.
Did the Ball Squad
probably never have a second episode of Ball Squad after how all the Williams stuff went down.
We actually, Adam, there was an episode of SML that had the both reps from Farsight, who ran Pinball Arcade, and. Yep. Mel Kirk from Zen Studios on the same episode, which was it worked out.
It's like the two competing pinball guys together, just chatting about pinball with Grant.
Yeah, it was fun. And then not long after that, you know, Zen slurped up the Williams license, and then it was like, ooh, it's a good thing we had that episode when we did. Yeah. That's not happening anymore. Anyway.
Oh, man. So when do you expect XenoTilt to see the light of day for most users? Like, do you think it'll be something that we'll see later on this year, early next year, something later?
Definitely this year. I think the location playtest is going to give me the best idea of how ready it is to be put out there. So
cool.
We're really just shooting for that, making it, you know, rock solid so it could run all day.
Well, I am looking forward to hearing more about it. I know we've been chatting for a while now. Is there anything you wanted to talk about the game that we didn't bring up?
No.
I think Grant, any other questions you have?
Yeah anything.
Yeah. I'm just excited. I feel like, you know, you can emulate real tables all day, but, you know, there's stuff you can do in this world that you can't do in real life. And I think you guys are doing a really good job taking advantage of that. Since no one stuck machine guns on your bumpers anymore. You know, no slingshots. They're slings. Sling guns. Masling guns. There you go. There's your new term. So it's exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I just say check out the page, the Steam and Epic page. You can find it on your PC platform, and give it the wish list, please. Thank you.
Well, we will include a link to the Steam page in the description below the episode. So go down there, look at the links, click on it, add it to your wish list, and keep your eyes on this game. And for the people who don't have it yet, Demon's Tilt, tell us where we can get that and how much that is.
That is on Switch, Xbox, PC, PSN, Epic, Steam. I think I got them all. It's everywhere video games are sold. Retails for $20, but we always have it on sale. So if you want it on sale, you can wishlist it and you'll get that notification. But they go on sale as often as we can run sales. So we like when people can get it at the price that they want it.
Very awesome. Well, Adam, it has been a pleasure having you on chatting with us. You'll have to come back when XenoTilt is ready to go. Where can people keep up to date with you, what you're doing, what's all the info to keep posted on everything XenoTilt?
You can just follow the @DemonsTilt account on Twitter for the most recent stuff, or the @XenoTilt account. Either of them are going to have the latest updates.
Awesome. Augie, Jacob, any other questions on your end?
Of course
not. I don't. Nope.
Thank you.
Adam, it has been awesome having you on the show. Please come back again sometime soon. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Have yourself an awesome night.
All right. You guys too. Right. See ya.
See ya.
Bye. Take care.
All right. That was fun. It was good stuff. Yeah, dude. I am very excited for that game. Demon's Tilt is such an awesome, fun table. I can't wait to see XenoTilt and just how much that shit crazier it has become.
Yeah,
bad when we have someone we're interviewing because I'm terrible at this.
You did fine.
I had my mic muted 90% of the time. Of course, I did fine.
That's good.
Yeah, that's my secret to success.
That's why we bring Grant in for the pinball stuff, because he knows all the pinball stuff.
Yeah, I think I sent this over and I was like, Joe, because this guy was on before, I think. Didn't he come on? Yeah, he came on before.
A couple years ago.
So I was like, look at this thing. And then all of a sudden he's like, what are you doing? And Joe's like, what are you doing Thursday? I'm like, I'll see you there, I guess. It is really fun. He does this thing where he makes, it's a single table, right? It's one table, but it's tons of layers. The screen scrolls up and down, and he opts for making one table that is super, super deep as opposed to, you know, a collection of five or whatever. So it sort of forces you to keep digging, and it worked really well, I thought, in the first game. So I'm interested to see how cavernous, apparently, this one is. Yes.
That should be good stuff. I'm excited. It's fun stuff. Also fun, Nintendo. Did you guys hear about the big Nintendo Direct that just happened this week?
Reaping the rewards, baby.
I don't know everything that popped up because I didn't actually watch it, but I saw a bunch of stuff that did.
Well, we'll go down the list and we'll rattle off a bunch of stuff that happened. They showed some new footage of Pikmin 4, which is releasing July 21st.
Very nice.
Very exciting. They have a new DLC coming to Xenoblade Chronicles 3 with a Volume 3 season pass of DLC coming along. And a Volume 4 was also teased. Volume 3 is coming February 15th. And then this one was really, really cool to see. Samba de Amigo is back on the Switch.
Crazy.
I'm looking forward to that this summer.
Yeah. That isn't one of them I heard about. What the kind of game is that?
Samba de Amigo was a game originally for like arcade and Dreamcast that had maraca controllers that you would shake.
Oh, I've seen those controllers.
Yeah. Well, that's Samba cool. de Amigo is coming back to the Switch, and it is coming out summer 2023. It's going to have 40 songs in the game. Should be interesting.
Nice.
Fashion Dreamer is Jacob's favorite new game coming out later on this year. Lets you be a stylish influencer with 1,000 design options.
Hell yes. I'm
so intrigued. He'll finally know what it's like to be popular.
No, he won't.
No. Probably not, no.
Dead Cells Return to Castlevania is going to be releasing March 6th.
Been nice.
Very exciting to see that. Jacob Tron Identity is a new visual novel coming in April.
Finally.
We can always do with more Tron games. I like those games.
Hell yeah.
Ghost Trick is getting a remaster later this summer on the Switch in HD. I don't remember much about that game, but I know it has a good legacy.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that game at all.
Deca Police is a game about being a police person in a JRPG open world where you do investigations in a vast virtual world. It was shown off featuring fighting bosses, its story and weapons, and it's coming later this year.
That looked cool.
They showed new footage, in-depth gameplay for Bayonetta Origins, Cereza and the Lost Demon, which is coming out March 17th.
Meh.
Splatoon 3 stuff was shown off. Disney Illusion Island is a new 2D platformer with four-player co-op in a very retro-style visual flair. That's coming out July 28th.
That'll be for Jacob, 100%.
Yeah, like we get these games. Fire Emblem really Engage. Tron one. Probably won't. Fire Emblem Engage is getting some more DLC. Wave 3 will have Crom and Veronica. Wave 4 will have the Fel Xenologue, which is a brand new story. Harmony, The Fall of Reverie, featuring Lana Del Rey, is releasing June. I don't know anything about this game except Lana Del Rey is in it.
That's weird.
Okay.
That means nothing to me personally. Who is that?
She's a singer.
Yeah.
Ah, that explains it. Okay, never mind.
Octopath Traveler 2 got a demo, and the game is launching February 24th.
Woot.
I'll just say, I don't. It's not my kind of game, but man, does that thing look awesome. Like, it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I just not my thing. Would absolutely watch someone else play it, but
I just love the fact that Octopath Traveler 1 is on Xbox, but not 2.
Oh, that's weird. Was it brought later?
Maybe one day.
No.
Huh.
And then Octopath 1 is not on PlayStation, but they're getting 2.
Oh, that's very strange.
Yeah.
Okay.
Square's dumb. We Love Katamari is returning on June 2nd.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
That'll be a good one.
Even better news, it's hitting all platforms.
Oh, I hope it's on Game Pass, because Katamari original one was.
That would be cool. But even if
I think
not,
it's my favorite.
It'll probably be like $30-$40. So
yeah, I think the second one's my favorite one. The first one's got my favorite soundtrack, but I think the second one might be my favorite Katamari. I can't remember.
Yeah, they refined it and it was like perfect.
Yeah.
Sea of Stars is releasing August 29th with a demo out today. I don't know what that is.
Nor do I anymore.
Hmm. Omega Strikers is an air hockey looking game, which is going to be releasing free on April 27th, and you can pre-order it even though it's free.
Free is always good.
Yeah. Three Etrian Odyssey games are getting ported to the Switch on June 1st, also hitting Steam.
Yeah, I know a couple people who were really excited about that bit of information. I know nothing about those games, though.
I know Chris Taylor's probably excited as hell.
Yeah, I was just saying, there's like a lot of people. There's some people that are just losing their mind over that announcement. Like, I'm happy for them, you know what I mean? But I've always heard the name, but I'm not familiar.
First person dungeon crawlers, they're really solid games. I'm curious that they're bringing the DS versions of 1 and 2 and not the 3DS versions of 1 and 2. You would think if there's the better version, you would go with that one. But
you'd think a lot of things, but companies aren't that smart always.
Very true. Advance Wars 1 and 2 is finally going to be releasing April 21st.
That's awesome.
A year later.
Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't get delayed again. Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe is getting a new story expansion. Demo is available later today, and the deluxe version is out February 24th. And then some fun news. Nintendo Switch Online is adding Game Boy games.
Woot.
Yeah, so they get to drip feed Game Boy games for the next couple of years. The first batch includes Tetris, Mario Land 2, Link's Awakening, Gargoyle's Quest, Game & Watch Gallery 3, Alone in the Dark, Metroid 2, Wario Land 3, and Kirby's Dream Land.
I'm going for that Alone in the Dark. Like, what is that about? It actually looks pretty good on Game Boy Color. I booted up Metroid 2 because I had to look at it, and not only do they have the Game Boy Color port of that game, which never really existed, I guess they did that for Wii U or something, but there's a really good... it's not CRT, it's whatever the equivalent is for a LCD screen, but there's a really good filter set for that game or for Game Boy Color and GBA that looks really good on a big TV. So, that's one of those problems with emulating those games is they just look like a dookie on a big television. But the filters look great, and you can even shrink the screen down a little bit on your television to make it a little more palatable because it's supposed to be on a small screen, but they look really good. The games look great. GBA games look great. So I'm going to definitely be trying some out.
Sure. You just mentioned GBA. Those are also coming. Those are coming to the Switch with the expansion pack. So you need to be the higher tier subscriber for those. But the initial lineup of those games has Mario Advance 4, Super Mario 3, WarioWare, Kuru Kuru Kururin, Mario Kart Super Circuit, Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, and Legend of Zelda The Minish Cap.
Pretty killer lineup.
Yeah. And they're available now. That's awesome. Of those are available right now, and you can check them out now. Also available right now, this was a cool surprise, Metroid Prime Remastered.
Yes. That's awesome. I just would like it to be put on something I can fucking play it on.
It'll never release on Xbox, Aki. Ever.
But they could at least put it on Steam or something.
No, it's Nintendo. They don't do that.
But they could.
But they don't.
Serious shit would have to go down at Nintendo for that to occur.
What kind of Xbox do you have?
From the 360 onwards.
You have a Series X or an S?
An X, yeah.
Because you could totally, I just installed, there's a standalone port of Dolphin that runs GameCube and Wii stuff that just showed up for Xbox, and I've actually been playing Prime on my Xbox for the last 2 weeks. I made it to Fendrana, and they dropped this today, so I'm like, uninstall. I literally installed it to play Prime because they've been delaying this remaster forever. So if you need information on how to do it, and it's not, you don't have to jailbreak anything, it's just a matter of installing an app and loading on a ROM, you can play Prime. It's very pretty. It's not this like newfangled version, but feels pretty good.
I'll have you explain that to me in the Discord later.
Yeah, it's cool. But oh my gosh, it just looks so good. It's like my dream. It looks so good. The dual stick controls. Oh my gosh, there's like rain bouncing off the arm cannon. Like they added all this new stuff. It just makes me so happy.
Even cooler is that a physical edition is coming out February 22nd.
I couldn't wait.
Nice.
Maybe I'll get it too. I don't know. But
so you could have it sit on your shelf too. Baten Kaitos 1 and 2 is getting an HD release on the Switch this summer.
I don't know what that is.
Those are two card-based action RPGs. I don't want to say action RPGs. They're traditional RPGs, but they have more of like a 3D explorable world than like 2D JRPG. They're really cool RPGs, and they're finally getting off the GameCube, and they're going to be on Switch.
Cool.
Two more games I'm sure Chris Taylor's losing his mind over. Fantasy Life, The Girl Who Steals Time was shown off, and also features Animal Crossing, but with fighting, and it's releasing later this year. I'm just reading Reddit notes for this shit at this point. So
I'd say that would be amazing if that's what they actually said in the
my gaping butthole.
Anyway,
Dopey, thank you so much for the raid. We got a whole bunch of raiders coming in. We are sitting here going over the news of the week with Mr. Schmucks. Grant Henry, the one and only Stemages, hanging out with us. We just had an interview with Adam Ferrando chatting Xenotilt. So if you missed that, you're going to have to jump back and listen to that when that full episode comes out this weekend. But we're tackling the Nintendo Direct right now, and a new Professor Layton game was announced.
That's pretty cool. I like those games.
I'm excited about that. I love the Layton games.
I've never played one, but they look interesting, at least.
You would love them. They're puzzle games.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're chill.
We need to get you a Switch. Wave 4 of Mario Kart Deluxe 8 is going to be coming out later this spring, and Birdo is going to be joining.
Okay, that's okay.
Yay. I love Birdo.
I think most people do, so that's fine.
Yeah, then they did a quick rapid-fire montage of games coming out, like Minecraft Legends, Mega Man Battle Network Collection, which I'm still pissed is skipping Xbox, Capcom, you bitches. Have a Nice Death, WBSC Baseball, Disney Dreamlight Valley, and Tales of Symphonia Remastered, all going to be coming to the Switch later this year. And then
thank God, because Disney Dreamlight Valley is really the only video game you'll ever need.
Shut up. then they ended the show with Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. It is going to be releasing May 12th. And get this, it's going to be Nintendo's first $70 game on the Switch.
Yippee.
Because they had like $100 games back on the N64.
Yeah, really? Yeah. I mean, if there's one to pay $70 for, the new Zelda is a pretty good one, because new Pikmin, sorry, I were jumping, but I guess you already said it, but the Pikmin 4 is not.
No, that 70. One's still $60.
So interesting how they're approaching that. It's like dipping their toe in the water with their biggest franchise. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, but it's inevitable.
Yeah, it's coming May 12th. It's going to have a collector's edition and an amiibo launching the same day.
Oh, there we go. More stuff for you to collect, Joe.
Yay. No, I'm probably not going to get that.
Why?
I don't know, just because I don't buy much Nintendo stuff anymore. I'll just buy it digital, play the game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
You know, they just dropped the vouchers program last week, you know, two vouchers. And I'm like, oh, I see. Just in time for the $70 game you just dropped. Well done, kids. Anyway.
Game Pass. A lot of stuff coming to Game Pass. February 9th. Just today, we got Madden 23 and SD Gundam Battle Alliance.
SD Gundam!
You excited about that one, Aki?
Yes, everyone should play that. It's fantastic. And that's from someone who doesn't even like SD Gundams. I think they're hideous, but that game is fantastic.
Nice. February 14th, we're getting Mountain Blade 2 Bannerlord, the Game Pass. February 15th, we're getting City Skylines Remastered, which is a new console remaster hitting Series and PS5. It's going to be a free upgrade with a separate install. Saves do not carry over. It includes a map editor, quick select tool, UX improvements, and from 9 buildable tiles all the way up to 25. Hmm. So much bigger area to play in there, and it's going to be on Game Pass. February 16th, Shadow Warrior 3 Definitive Edition is hitting Game Pass. And then February 21st, Atomic Heart.
Yes!
Wow, that's a lot in like 2 weeks? Yeah. Wow. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
I hope I get Atomic Hearts to review. Because I don't know if I can finish it fast enough before I don't have Game Pass anymore. Like, I want to play that game. I back when that thing was first announced, which was years and years and years ago, it originally was only going to come out on Steam, and I followed it there. I was like, my computer can't handle this, obviously, but I still want this game. So I was like, this is going to be one of those games I buy, and you know, maybe in a decade I might have a good enough computer at that point. And then they were like, oh yeah, and now it's coming out the console. So I was like, yeah. Yes. I want this game so bad.
Oh. Yeah. And that's on Game Pass. So you have to pay for it.
Yeah, two more weeks.
Pretty sick.
Excited.
Some sad news. There are games leaving Game Pass. We went over the list last week, but let's check on it once more. Besiege is leaving. Recompile, The Last Kids on Earth and the Staff of Doom, Skull, The Hero Slayer, and Infernax. And then Crossfire X Operation Catalyst. We found out why that's leaving Game Pass. Because the game is ending on May 18th.
Yeah, the whole thing is just...
They're just shutting it all down. There's a lot of games shutting down lately. This is getting depressing.
But if any of you want some fairly decently easy achievements, Crossfire X, it only has like 12 achievements, and it's for the multiplayer only. It's not terrible to get them even. So, you know, it's not too bad. Fair enough. I started it, Scotty, and then Scotty didn't play with me.
Shocker.
Yeah, I know, right?
Some more sad news. Chainsawsome Games is shutting down after the failure of Aftercharge and the average success, their words, of Night Squad 2. The writing was on the wall and the company is hanging it up.
Well, they also said that they had a prototype of a game that just wasn't working out.
Yeah.
So, that sucks.
I don't know either of those games that they made, so...
Night Squad was good.
Yeah,
Night Squad was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Joe and I had a lot of fun with co-op on that.
That's a shame.
Very, very frantic game.
I think Aftercharge was just another online game, and I think a lot of developers are going to start realizing that online central games are just not working anymore.
In my opinion, they never fucking worked, because every time they'd be like, oh, at the end of the year, now we're bringing out a new one and closing this one. Just, they never fucking worked.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, I mean, I thought Aftercharge was it called? Aftercharge, because I only played it once they announced that they were closing it. It was okay, but if you got stuck on the defend team, like, you're just fucked. Like, and it was just like there was no real balance to the game, which was unfortunate because I thought it had like some good ideas to it. But it just wasn't a fully cooked game. And that's the unfortunate reality behind that one. And it's just a shame that Night Squad, you know, just never took off.
Oh, well, some positive news. The Switch has topped 122 million units worldwide. It is now ahead of the PS... What did they say? The PS4 it's now ahead of?
Yes.
Yeah. It's creeping up on the Game Boy and the PS2.
Nice.
So,
that's crazy.
Switch is doing pretty good.
Gosh.
Apparently, Ubisoft Plus is close to releasing on Xbox. People have noticed that the system is being updated with labels for the game, kind of like how they have the Game Pass logo and the Series X and S logo. They're going to have a Ubisoft Plus logo for games in that service. Yeah, I don't know why it's like when it's coming, how much it's going to be. I don't know.
It's just like Assassin's Creed, the service, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, every time there's a newbie sale, it's like line after line after line after of Assassin's Creed stuff. It's like words I've never heard before, like Assassin's Creed Xenotilt. I'm like, I don't know what this is. What is this? I don't
pinball.
What am I even? All right.
Last bit of news I have is that Hyperkin is playing with the hearts of Rock Band fans everywhere because they tweeted out at Epic Games that they should work on a new Rock Band game together.
Ooh.
And the Rock Band community is losing their goddamn minds over this. Like, the thought that a new peripheral maker wants to make new instruments is so exciting because of how expensive they are getting.
Nice.
Like, guitars nowadays cost $200-$300 for one guitar.
Wow, man. Just think, like, if, you know, when they were literally, people were dumpster diving for these back in the day. Now you could be making a killing. Yeah. That's crazy. What's the state of Rock Band? You're my Rock Band boy. What's
they're still
the deal?
Putting out songs every week.
Yeah, and people are just playing on you know, hardware that they're keeping working at this point. Okay, gotcha.
It's basically on life support, although with the recent Epic news, like they recently switched all the servers over to Epic Online Services. So like you had to relink your account and shit like that. But people think Epic wouldn't be doing this stuff if they didn't have plans for it. And if even if those plans are just keep it on life support, keep putting out 2-3 songs a week, like we're happy. We keep buying them.
Yeah.
It just had Devil Wears Prada and Sleeping with Sirens stuff came out this week.
How would you feel about a subscription service where you could play any song?
Hell no.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, that was good. No. Wasn't that like fucking Guitar Hero Live or whatever?
Guitar Hero.
That was
no, you had to pay per song, didn't you?
No, it was a you would connect to this network that would basically just stream songs, kind of like a television channel.
Yeah,
and you could pick a genre, and so you couldn't really like you sort of would jump in mid song. I mean, it was really busted, unfortunately. But yeah, it wasn't a good idea either.
Ubisoft is supposedly going to be doing subscription for Rocksmith when that relaunches. I would rather own my songs because when that subscription service ends, where do all those songs go?
They don't. They disappear.
Exactly.
But no, but you're also someone who have already bought all your songs. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I will. You know, it's interesting. It's like if you're going to drum up new business, that's kind of the model, right? So,
yeah.
Be interesting, I mean, to see.
It's great in theory, but they could be like, oh, we have 6,000 songs available right now through our subscription service. How many of them are good? Like, I have 3,000 in Rock Band, and I know there's a lot of shit in there.
Oh,
there's a lot of shit in there. Yeah. So, like, how much is going to be good if there's that many more on Rocksmith, but there's no, like, financial barrier to make sure that they're putting good stuff in there? I don't know. I would rather just buy what I want and own it.
But you buy everything.
Not on Rocksmith, though.
I was going to say, not everything. Otherwise, Joe would have that Naked Brothers Band clip.
Yeah. I am missing the two Naked Brothers Band songs. Oh, thanks for reminding me.
No problem, Joe.
That I'm only missing three Rock Band songs.
You didn't fucking remind them of shit, Aki. Fuck off. Don't take credit for my shit.
If Hyperkin is serious, there's going to be a lot of Rock Band people who are happy with Hyperkin. It'd be cool. I would love to see new instruments, but yeah, that's the news I have. Any news anyone else wants to talk about?
Anyone ever heard of a little game called Metroid Prime?
Do tell.
No, I'm good.
And I don't got nothing.
Jacob, any news on your end?
Nope.
Nothing.
The only news I have is 18 Gunpla shipped today and are coming to my house. That's
18?
I got. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
All of them that were processed between November and, well, the end of November until yesterday. In total, let's just say it was a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. Oh, yeah. Man. All right. Should we get to reviews? We only have a few of them. Should we jump into these?
Sure.
Let's Grant, you ready?
Sure. If you want me to make me first.
Yeah, we're going to put you first, and that way you can get going. That way you don't have to waste all night hanging out with us.
Oh, but I like that. I like listening to reviews.
All right. Do you want to go later then?
I'll go first. Let's get this out of the way. And I'll kick back and listen. Crack my knuckles. Yes.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is Rhythm Sprout, Sick Beats and Bad Sweets, developed by Cirt, published by Tiny Build, released February 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $14.99. Rhythm Sprout is a handcrafted rhythm action with original music and a wacky story mode. Grant, what is going on in Rhythm Sprout?
Well, it's a rhythm game that is similar to games that you might be familiar with. Namely Rock Band or Frequency Amplitude, that kind of the treadmill based gameplay that we all love. But it's got some very unique things going on about it. It's a story about an anthropomorphized onion. It's an onion with wearing a tracksuit. So put that in your brain, and you wield a weapon. It's like it could be a bat or it could be a shovel, depending on how you're feeling that day. And it's about, you've been hired by the king to defeat King Sugar Daddy and get the king's daughter back. That's it. Sometimes it's funny. It's mostly strange and irreverent. It's kind of weirdly sexual at times, but in kind of a tongue-in-cheek way. I don't know. The story is just sort of what it is. It's an excuse to tie some songs together. So this game plays very similar to Frequency or Amplitude, if you remember those from the PS2 days. It's three buttons. It's just like Rock Band, Treadmill, but three buttons or three colored blocks. Any button on the D-pad is one color. Any button on the right side face buttons, like A, B, X, Y, that's another, any one you want, pick one. That's the other color. And then shoulder buttons are the third color. So it's essentially just get your hands comfortable and you're dealing with three different colored notes coming at you. And that's the entire game. It doesn't introduce any new mechanics. There is sort of a, hit the button as fast as you can moment, like you see in a lot of games like some of the drum games, but it's all very basic. And I booted this game up and started it, and the music was kind of fun. And I'm like, I was surprised to see that this was so similar to other rhythm games that I'm used to. However, it really starts to change things up with the music. I feel like a lot of rhythm games go for note density. They go for, like, the difficulty comes in the speed and the number of notes coming at you. And this game's a bit different. It's kind of this, it's got this like electro fusion progressive music going on. It's very cool. It's very different, but it's all about rhythm. It's all about really weird rhythm stuff. It's very brainy music. And so it's less about making your fingers move quickly and more about learning the songs. It's more about learning where the hits are. And you're playing polyrhythms, you're doing weird change-ups, and they've chopped off notes and parts of the beat, and it's proggy. It's way more proggy than I'm used to hearing in a rhythm game. I don't know how that works for everyone, but I loved it. I went from wondering if the game was going to be unlocking new mechanics to just like mainlining this thing. I mean, I just couldn't stop playing. And as you get further in, the songs get more complex. And by the end, I mean, there is some straight metal in this soundtrack. You're this cute onion traveling through this candy colored world, but it's like Meshuggah by the end. It's Chibi Sugar is what I've been calling it. You saw some of the, I took a Xbox clip and sent it to you, Joe.
Yeah, like, you've sent me a couple stages, and the music in this game is so good.
It's crazy. It's very synth heavy a lot of the time and funky, but it will throw just this wild, blistering, you know, almost Mick Gordon level, Doom level metal in here out of nowhere during boss fights. And it's just hilarious. It reminds me of that conversation we had with Chris Taylor, where he was, what RPG was it where all of a sudden there was like a metal song? Yes, with the racing turtles, right?
Yeah.
It's like that, like over and over again. It's really something. I'm gonna link in the chat the tweet I made about how unhinged the
kind of want to play that Chained Echo song now.
Oh, it's so good! It's so hilarious.
Well, it's 14 seconds. Should I play it?
Go for it.
God, it's so good.
It is. Because you know the people listening to the archive can't hear it. Play the hit my tweet and play that audio. Can you do that? Are you able to do that from the route audio, or is that not gonna, could, don't worry about it.
I could play the one stage you sent on Facebook.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this is the music playing in the game. I'll see if I could put it low enough so that you keep talking while the music plays. All right, I don't know if the level's good enough, but we'll try this.
It sounds like I'm kind of listening to the stream here. So anyway, this went from a game that has very basic mechanics that I think we're all used to in a rhythm game to like a prog rock nightmare, like a candy coated, which I am completely on board with. I blasted through the whole game. I think I'm pretty good at games like this. I'm not great when it comes to like bullet hell style rhythm games where things get really fast. I blasted through all 30 levels, which included the prequel levels and the bonus levels, in about 3 hours, 3.5 hours. You know, at first I was wondering if it'd be worth the $14.99, but I honestly feel like I've gone back to some of these levels to play them again. I just love the music so much. It's really killer stuff. I will say that the way that the gameplay is set up in a way that encourages you to continue. You only lose health on the shoulder button misses. So if you're just screwing up through an entire song, normally, you know, it'd fail you, but you're probably going to finish a song. It's built in a way that you'll finish a song. You'll just have a really crap score. So as long as you can make your shoulder presses, you'll still get to hear most of the game. Although I did really fight and have to come back to several songs over the course of these few days. So, but yeah, really different and very with really brainy music. And I really, really enjoyed it. It's also developed, or it was published by Tiny Build. Tiny Build is that publisher that helped evacuate 180 employees or developers from Ukraine and Russia to avoid the war. Tiny Build kind of being heroes in this space. While they published this game, CERT is included in that list. So Tiny Build, you know, if you want to support some good people, this would be a small way to do that as well. So, but yeah, I'm a big fan of this game. Maybe not for everyone, but I'm in.
Well, it is $14.99. What's your official verdict on it?
I really like it. I think a lot of it might depend on how much you're into games that are a bit more rhythmically complex. But the game is honestly playable for anyone because of the way they've put their fail state in. If you like something cute and strange and kind of heavy, give it a shot. It's $14.99. It's on sale on Steam, and it is. It's about 2 albums worth of music. So if you want to put that into perspective, you know, you might pay $8 an album for 2 records. It's something you can kind of look at it as that kind of value proposition. Cool. But I really liked it, and I'm probably going to play through it again.
Cool beans.
Yeah, man.
All right. You going to stick around and hang out for the rest of the show?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll listen to reviews.
Cool. Cause next game to talk about is Oddballers, developed by GameSwing and Ubisoft Mumbai, published by Ubisoft, released January 26th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, PC, and Amazon Luna for $19.99. Oddballers is a bombastic dodgeball-inspired multiplayer party game where players are encouraged to use hilariously unfair tactics and wacky weapons to win mini-games in this highly customizable, endlessly absurd world. Jacob, you check this one out, and then we also have emails written in from Brooke and Andy Sperry talking about this game. Should we go over the emails first?
Yeah, I'd have them covered. I'd have those covered first.
All right, well, the first email is from Andy Sperry. He says, "Duck, dodge, dip, dive, and dodge your way through this hilarious dodgeball-inspired party game known as Oddballers. Start off by creating a customized character, human or rabid, with tons of different options to show your wacky personality in each game arena. More customizable options are gained through level-ups or purchased with earned in-game currency. Enter the battle arena with up to 4 players locally. Your 6 online single-player modes and custom game options are also available for those trying to practice their skills at a specific minigame. Oddballers features 3 separate playing arenas, Bumpkin Farm, Codham City, and Thousand Islands, each of their own set of rules and frantically fun mini-games, simplified to either being the last one standing, the one with the most points, or a team tactics game. The game released in January 26th, and it's often hard to find online games with other players, but not impossible. This did not deter me from playing, since local co-op and player versus bot mechanics are available options. The game is at its core absurdly fun and goofy. A couple featured minigames included players teamed up to destroy the other team's porta potty first, another where a player had to knock out all the other players using a fish. My personal favorite was a hot potato style game with an electric boomerang. Even after being knocked out, players can screw with other players by placing bee boxes and tennis ball shooters onto the arena. There are 18 minigames in all, but enough similarity between each one that it was easy to pick up and play while feeling like you could put up some competition. The first time I played, it took me a few games to get used to the controls, but eventually came back to an almost 3-person tie in the end. Graphics aren't anything special. It's goofy party game, dodgeball, and having fun is the main focus. A few minor glitches appeared while playing, but nothing game-breaking aside from one minigame where all the computers ran to the outside walls and stayed there weirdly. Overall, Oddballers is a great game, a really fun time for groups or people locally online, and a nice addition to the world of party games. $20 seems like a high price point, in my opinion. As similar games are either free with in-game purchases for appearances, but I still recommend trying it out for yourself. If you do pick it up, I'll see you on the courts. That was Andy's take. Let's see what Brooke has to say. She says, okay, so at first this game pissed me off, but now I love it. I would much rather play this with my friends all night than any Jackbox, Ultimate Chicken Dog, or whatever. It's Ultimate Chicken Horse. I know that because my niece Aubrey loves that game. I love dodgeball as a kid. What? Ain't nothing in the rules saying dog can't play dodgeball. Anyway, this is Dodgeball cranked up by another notch by Emeril Lagasse. For the kids listening to our show tonight, that's a famous chef from the olden times. Now stop listening before Aki says something inappropriate. Get out of here, you damn kids. Not only do I find this game to be impeccably designed with a really good and consistent art style that matches the goofy, funny vibe, but I also really love the huge variety of dodgeball-esque games and was excited at how each of them really felt like a different game. I was able to stay entertained for a few hours just playing with the AI characters. However, that's the only way I could play, which I'm sure other members of the show tonight are already speaking about, so I won't. So why did I think I would hate this game when I first started it? Joe, please have everyone guess my one complaint with this game outside of not being able to match with any real players. So who wants to guess?
Why she hated it?
Yes. Why she thought she might hate it.
I don't know.
Requiring skill.
You guessed it, Aki. It was the tutorial.
Oh, yeah, that. See, I knew what I was talking about.
I got lost immediately, as usual. In fact, co-hosts will recall I didn't even know I could play with AI players for about a week until Jacob mentioned it. So I thought the game was virtually unplayable. Main thing I'd ask the developers to update ASAP so they can make a shitload of money on this game. Tell the players they can have AI, pick specific minigame levels, etc., instead of hoping they figure out what the options there even are based on symbols. Explain the basic concepts of the game before they join or create their first game. Explain to players they should try to play with AI immediately if they can't match with any humans, because it's still really fun with AI and I don't want anyone to regret their purchase here. Why not even have a tutorial where they can play with AI first so they see how the game works before trying to match with a human and give up? We do get written instructions once a match begins, but if you're the only person who hasn't played one of the many very different varieties of the games, you're going to be reading instructions while everyone waits on you to raise your ready flag in real time. Making these changes would make this game way more inviting and accessible from the very beginning, which would be amazing since once you get past the rocky start, it's incredibly accessible, smooth, intuitively designed, fun game. I'm going to call this a buy even if y'all don't update it. I think this could be the next big party game, and I think it's already a top five contender for this sort of thing on the Switch. So it seems like Brooke really enjoyed her time. Andy was kind of mixed on it. Jacob, what did you think of your time with Oddballers?
So honestly, like I was mixed. I mean, it doesn't seem like anybody's playing online, either that or else nobody's able to connect. But you know, as others said, you are able to use the AI with it. And honestly, like I do agree with Brooke's assessment of like it needs some sort of tutorial, because it plops you into this kind of like it just drops you into this like lobby that's set up like kind of like a barnyard, and you're able to just mess around in it, but it doesn't really tell you what to do. And so like the only way I found out that you can use AI, guys, was by fooling around with all the different stuff in that barnyard, and it's not intuitive at all. And honestly, like I was getting more annoyed that like, you know, I was trying to find a game and I was even selecting crossplay and I literally couldn't find anybody. I have yet to find anybody playing this game. With it, I do appreciate that it tries changing things up, but none of the non-dodgeball mini games, like I found to be fun or, I don't know, like just even worth sticking around for. Like honestly, I had more fun like just with like the straight dodgeball levels, and I was like, oh man, I can't wait for the next one, because it always seems to alternate between dodgeball and then like semi spin off of it. Like I don't know how exactly to describe it, but and then the next one will be dodgeball again. And honestly, I was waiting for those rounds more, like, you know, in more anticipation for that. And so another thing that I would suggest for it is if there was like some sort of way to make it like a playlist kind of thing where you could just be like, I only want to play dodgeball, or like, you know, I want to do the, like, all of the mini games, whichever.
No.
It's not bad, but this does not feel like a fully done game. And I don't know how much playtesting was done, like not so much in terms of like glitches, but just asking people like, yo, is this fun? Cause, some of the rounds that I played, I would have had them go back to the drawing board on them.
Yeah.
It's a try it in my book, but I'm also not thrilled with the $20 price tag. 15 or less, I'd be okay with.
Yeah, part of me feels like this should have been something released free to play because it's such a heavy focus on online, and I think they could have made it up with cosmetics or something like that. I would have loved to chime in on the game, but I can't play it. I don't know if there's... Like, I messaged Ubisoft and I explained what was happening, and according to them, it's because the next-gen version technically isn't out yet.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's what's causing the issue. Apparently, it's just the Xbox One and PS4 versions are out now, not the Series and PS5, despite the fact that my game icon shows the Series X logo, so I have the Series version. It starts up and it cannot authenticate the servers.
I have been trying
for weeks to play this game. Every day I'll fire it up and I'll get the same error. And
is this thing on sale yet for Xbox Series X?
Yes.
Oh my God. you figure they would have pulled it like if that was the case.
I don't know what the issue is. Some people have mentioned they found workarounds to get the game working. Carnage has played it. You're on a Series X and you said you got to play it.
Yeah, but I had to use bots.
Yeah, but I can't even get there.
Oh.
I can't get to the main menu of the screen. I can't get to the main menu of the game because it won't authenticate the server.
That's weird.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for them to fix it. I can't chime in on the game. I would have loved to, but I can't. But as it stands, it's $20. What are your thoughts?
It's a try it. But wait for a sale.
Sounds good. All right, next game is The Redress of Mira, developed by Tonguk Bodor and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released February 8th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $9.99. With a variety of gameplay mechanics, venture through Mira's fantasy world filled with atmosphere and adventure and pursue her inner peace. Aki, what is going on in The Redress of Mira?
Okay. This entire game is a walk to start here and just walk to the end. Read the story if you want to, otherwise just keep walking until you finish the game. I would call this a walking sim, but I guess if it's literally a walking sim, yes, this game works pretty well. There isn't really any puzzles or anything in it. You play as a young woman who happens to have a staff that's magical, and you're chasing after this other young woman who you're very angry at. And if you choose to find the chests that you can open and read the little books in each one, you get the story of why she's pissed at this other young woman. But you don't have to read those or find them. Which is really odd. And yeah, there's not a lot to it. Occasionally you suck up energy, this magical energy from magical bunnies. And yes, it's just magical bunnies. I don't know. It just is what it is. And with that, you, on rare occasion, typically you have a little bit of combat with with the same individual over and over and over again, a crazed knight of some sort. And, yeah, that's really all there is to it. The voice acting's okay. The story is okay if you bother to read it, because, again, no achievements tied to opening any of these chests or reading any of it or anything like that. All the achievements are for shooing away birds that you find along your path. And there's, I think, 12 sets of them or something, and then one for getting each ending, which is just a button click. And that's it. So there, yeah, that's it, really. I was hoping there'd be a little more to this game. There's really not.
No, nothing.
Nope, not at all.
No, it's $10. What are your thoughts on it?
If you want an easy 100%, go for it. Otherwise, there's not really anything here. You're going to spend maybe a couple hours in it at most to get through it. Because thankfully, you don't have to play through the entire thing all over again to get both endings. Because you can just say, oh, continue, and then just choose the other ending after you've beaten the game. So it's a buy it if you want really quick, easy achievements. Everyone else, it's, you know, maybe if it's on sale, try it. Otherwise, it's probably a pass.
All right, works for me. Next game, Reactor X 2, developed and published by Turnox Games, released February 1st on Xbox One, Windows 10 for $4.99 each. Separate achievement lists, separate purchases. Be a skilled Android mechanic in Reactor X 2. The ultimate repair and power restoration challenge awaits you in puzzle game as you take on the aftermath of a pirate attack on your spaceship. With 5 different sectors to navigate and 30 levels of increasingly difficult challenges, you'll need to use all your skills and problem-solving abilities to restore power to your ship and get back on course. Jacob, what is going on in Reactor X 2?
So Reactor X 2 plays very much like the first Reactor X game. That one, your ship got hit by an asteroid. This time it's space pirates or something. It just gets attacked. Who knows? Anyway, so what it involves is that the captain of the ship is like, hey, engineer, I need you to go down and restore power. And like each of the 5 or 6 sections has 6 puzzles, and all of them involve pushing blocks. And the blocks will light up certain areas and provide energy. And sometimes you have to charge them up, change like what kind of power they provide, stuff like that. And it's just you pushing blocks all over the place. Very rarely can you die in this game or mess up that badly that you have to restart. Honestly, the game is very chill, like, and it's just an easy puzzle game that, honestly, it looks very, really nice, especially for a $5 game. Like, the puzzles are actually competently made, and not the most challenging, but challenging enough. I like it. It's something I could toss on and, like, get achievements from when the kids are around. Sometimes they like playing it as well, because it's easy enough that they understand like what the heck's going on with it as well. It's just there's not much there's not much to say for it. It's $5. It's some of the easiest 1,000 achievement points you're ever going to get. The previous title got updated a couple of times to provide more achievements, so I'm assuming that this one's going to do the same. I'd recommend it. Like, honestly, out of like the budget $5 titles that I have to review, Reactor X and Reactor X 2 are some of the more solid ones.
Yeah, they are solid games. They're just easy to play puzzle games, and they can get complex near the end, but they're not going to break your brain the way some games do.
No, yeah, it's you're going to be like you could beat this game in one sitting if you really wanted to do it.
Yeah. Well, $5, your verdict.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Next game, Alice in Wonderland, a jigsaw puzzle tale developed by Mensana Interactive.
Oh, I just laughed.
Oh, developed by Mensana Interactive, published by Cubite Interactive, released February 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. A new jigsaw puzzle game to remember a beloved classic story. Jacob, this one sounds like another easy to review game.
It generally is, Joe, and I'm going to talk at the same speed that the cursor moves.
Oh no. Worst which nightmare.
Is not very fast for a puzzle game.
Oh no.
And I've had to sit through multiple puzzles.
I want to die already.
Some of which have over 300 pieces over and over again as I have to do this. And unfortunately, when you go into the settings, there is nothing to change cursor speed. So you're fucking stuck. And it is painful. Okay, like, so seriously, this is a puzzle game based off the Alice in Wonderland stuff. I can't do the fucking slow shit anymore. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God for everyone. Oh, hey, Mr. Spider. There's a spider on my wall.
Okay.
Anyway.
Hey, Mr. Spider, what do you think of this game? Because
he's like, oh my God, the fucking cursor. Oh, that's weird. When you said Mr. Spider, what do you think of the game? It actually stopped. Huh. Anyway.
I hope it kills you.
Me too. Anyway, so it's a bunch of puzzles that are based on the Alice in Wonderland book. And they're all these like cutesy anime-ish drawings, which then become animated after you've solved them. And the puzzles are varying in difficulty. Like they start off at 60, and I think the highest is 700. I think I haven't gotten there yet. Yeah.
It's just jigsaw puzzles with a slow cursor.
It's jigsaw puzzles with a really freaking slow cursor. And like, it's honestly my only gripe about the game. Like, I appreciate the fact that, because there's some games where, like, I've played some puzzle games where like it won't automatically like sync the piece into like the frame or the corner unless like there's something already attached to it. Like you can't just pop in center pieces where you think that they should be and have them like automatically like, nope, all right, this is where it's supposed to be. Like it actively helps you out with that kind of stuff, and I do appreciate that with the placement. But yeah, it's just that fucking cursor. Holy shit. Please, for the love of God, do like make the edit settings so you can actually edit the cursor speed, because this is something that is woefully needed on this game. Otherwise, it's a solid, like, no-frills puzzle game.
What are the achievements, like, in the game?
Easy. I mean, you're just
solve the puzzles.
Just complete. Yeah, just solve all the puzzles. And, like, there are buttons, like, that let you highlight the puzzle or the puzzle pieces. Like, so you can highlight, like, corner pieces or the edge pieces. Or you can just highlight, like, whatever pieces are left. Because sometimes, like, when you're connecting the puzzle pieces, like, the puzzle pieces will settle on top after you've connected it to where it's supposed to be. And then so any puzzle pieces that were initially underneath it can sometimes kind of blend in. So that was actually kind of helpful, because there was a couple of puzzles where I actually did lose the pieces until I highlighted them. But yeah, other than that, like, it's solid, just slow. Like,
oh, this is not going to be an easy completion. What are you talking about?
No.
It's going to be time consuming to complete this one. You got to complete.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's time consuming, but it's not going to be terribly brain taxing though.
Yeah, true. Like, but you have to complete all 12 scenes in all sizes, including the 735 piece.
Yep.
Wow.
So, well, it's $5. What do you think of it?
For $5, it's totally worth it. Yeah, I mean, it's a fine puzzle game. As I said, fix the damn cursor.
All right, well, we got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called Pets at Work, developed by Nib Games, published by Rattleaka Games, released February 3rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. Some pets got lost in an office setting, and now these dogs and cats need to work together using boxes, mats, and buttons. Players can just run amok climbing on chairs and tables and make a mess in this colorful little game. Pets at Work is a cozy puzzle platform game that is wonderfully enjoyable for playing with friends of all ages and experience levels. Jacob, what is going on in Pets at Work?
I'm not gonna lie, this game surprised me in certain areas. So when you start up the game, you're allowed to choose what dog you're gonna go with and what cat you're gonna go with, and you've got like 5 or 6 selections for each one. They don't matter. Like, it's really like the only time you're ever gonna see the pets dressed like that is like the little sprite and like during the animated scenes. Not like really animated, but like a picture scenes. But So it, like, none of it actually affects gameplay, but you have a dog and you have a cat, and the cat can jump high and get to higher places, obviously. And the dog can push boxes. And so you have to use the two of them to be able to make it to the exit on each level using their strengths. And what's really interesting in my, from my perspective, is that first off, like, they actually thought of certain things. With pushing the boxes, it's actually possible for the dog to push the box onto the head of the cat and the level end. And honestly, I was just tooling around just to, like, see what I could do. I was like, oh, it's just gonna, like, land in front of the cat, like, whatever. But no, like, the game actually, like, and, like, it makes you restart the puzzle. And there were a couple of times where I ended up in impossible situations because I had let one of the pets, like, go out the door before the other one, and the other one hadn't made it far enough, and, like, I had misjudged, like, where I needed that other pet to be. And then so I wasn't able to finish the level and had to restart. But a lot of it is just, you know, get them from point A to point B and use the environment around you, like, whether it's climbing up on desks or bookcases, or pushing boxes so then the dog can get to a different area later on, or not so much later on, but, like, later on in the level, after pushing the box off of a shelf and then pushing it to against a wall somewhere. I mean, it's a simple game, but I do appreciate that, like, some thought actually has to be put into this. I was really expecting this to be, like, a no-frills platformer that, you know, just kind of, like, you play it and forget about it. But honestly, like, this was a pretty fun one that I kept coming back to.
Ooh, well, it's $5. What do you think?
For $5, it's a really solid Rataleika title. I'd recommend it.
Cool. So there are some good $5 games today.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Good stuff. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one.
Yay.
Ow. Jacob and Aki, thanks for being here, I guess. Grant, no problem. Thank you for being here.
I guess.
It is always awesome having you on the show, Grant. We love having you here.
Pleasure to be here.
My favorite Gitaru man.
feel better, Aki.
Thank you. I'm working on it.
So, Grant, what music should we play this episode?
I have a song on so Watch Out for Snakes is a kind of a dark wave dude, and he released an EP of people covering his stuff. It's called Peripherals, and it's a 5-song EP of people covering Watch Out for Snakes tracks. And I'm on there, Megaran's on there, No Sleep's on there. So yeah, feel free to check that out. And I got a track on there you can play.
Cool.
Or anything else from that record, or Guitar Man, or Metroid Prime music, or anything you want. It's your show.
Well, I mean, you told us what to play already. I just need to get the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. I like Watch Out for Snakes music, and it was fun doing kind of a punky version of that track. So feel free to check that out. That's my last release.
Nice. Well, we will play that on the show to wrap things up. Big thanks to Adam for coming on, chatting with us, and to his buddy Ralph Flarb for hanging out in chat, keeping us company. Thanks to everyone in chat for keeping us company, dropping biddies, dropping subs, all that fun stuff. Music, yeah, we covered that. We're going to play that. Anyone have any final words to end the show?
Jacob gargles balls.
You're just jealous of my ability.
More of balls. More of balls.